I must stay conscious through the madness and chaos. So I call on my angels. They say, oh, you have so little faith.
Everybody, this is Diane, the original nasty woman, podcasting with Todd, the bad hombre, not to be confused with bad hombre, and this is This Conversation Rocks.
Let me clarify that. That's bad ambre, which is shoulder. Bad shoulder.
Ambre?
Yeah, well, if you listen to how he said it, right, it could have been several words.
Oh my god, that is so funny. Well, there was a...
So, bad hunger... which he could solve by just going to get his taco bowl. Or if Clinton wins, he can also solve it because then there will be a taco truck on every corner, which, again, only Donald Trump seems to have a problem with that. This right. is America, goddammit. Tacos. So anyway, yeah, I'm the bad shoulder, sure.
Well, there was a flurry of memes going around the night of the last debate of bad hombres, which were bad multicolored hairdos, which was quite funny.
Bad air.
So this is our election palooza episode, which I also fondly refer to as Run Pussy Run!
In which... what?
In which I try to get us back on track with at least a little bit of format, and Todd is grudgingly agreeing. So we have three things that we want to try to cover today. So mine is why I'm sick of explaining this shit. And then Todd would like to talk about Fuckface Von Clownstick and his dog Spot. And then we're both going to rhapsodize about why I'm done with the Dems. So.
All right, so what are you tired of explaining?
Oh my god, so I just have to tell you, after the Access Hollywood tape, after the pussy grabbing tape, I thought, I'm fucking sick of explaining this. I'm sick of rehashing shit that I thought my mother's generation took care of when they were talking about feminism, talking about the ERA.
Except for my mom, mother's generation, my mother is voting for Trump.
Because
this is just normal behavior in the workplace.
Oh, did she really say that?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh. So why?
She was intoxicated at the time, so she may not remember, but she did say it.
So, you know, that just keeps on with why I'm sick of explaining this shit. Why I'm sick of having to explain to people this is not normal behavior in the workplace. And if it's normal behavior in your workplace, HR needs to get involved.
You need to get into workplace.
The EEO needs to get involved, and you need to get the fuck out of there. Exactly. But it's not tolerable behavior in the workplace. I don't care who you are. So, you know, I kind of made a list of all of the things that I'm sick of explaining, right? Because there are so many. I think probably the biggest thing for me is that people continue to willingly not see the racism and bigotry associated with the Trump campaign. And for me, it really hits home because I've got two beautiful friends who are Black women. My nieces are Irish Tlingit, which is Alaska Native, and Filipina. So they are multiracial. You know, I've got lots of friends who are gay. I just think I'm really sick of thinking about the people that I love getting hurt under a non-Clinton presidency. Getting hurt under a Trump presidency. It's not even a non-Clinton presidency. Getting hurt under a Trump presidency. It terrifies me to think about my friends and family being subjected to that kind of intolerance.
Absolutely.
Or worse, you know, I mean, if he really can live out his fever dream, being removed from this country because for some reason, whether it's their sexuality or the color of their skin, they don't belong here.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many things that I'm sick of explaining, but that's probably top of the list.
I'll just go back out there and point out that none of us actually belong here.
Right.
There's nobody native to the Americas. We all came from someplace else.
But really, I think that the First Nations probably deserve a bigger pass than any of us because they were kind of here first.
Yeah, I give it to them. No problem. Yeah. No problem at all. But
And I mean, we're not even going to talk about the Dakota Access Pipeline today. I don't even want to go there. We need to at some point, probably, but I can't go there. My brain is just swamped. You know?
Yeah.
You know, the other thing is just the rampant sexism. I mean, you touched on that with your comment about your mom, but the way that he sneers when he says her, and the way that he rates women on a scale of 0 to 10, and if you're not a 10, you're not worth his notice. And one of my friends told me that he said any woman over the age of 35 is unfuckable.
I'm going to go with, yeah, he said it.
I was like, oh my God, what? Really? And she was like, oh yeah. And she said Melania has outworn her welcome by about 11 years.
Yeah, but it's getting to the point where even that pocket full of Viagra and all the money does not make him attractive.
Oh my God. You know, you have to be really desperate and greedy. That's all I can say, because I can't find a redeeming quality. And being rich and having a pocket full of Viagra doesn't make your qualities redeeming.
No. No. There's nothing redeeming about this piece of shit.
You know, the other thing, and you and I talked about this a little bit, is having to explain consent to people. And I know that this can be dangerous ground, because I think Bill Clinton probably needs, or at least needed, a lesson in consent and power in sexual relationships. But I think the thing that hit me the most was when Jessica Drake, the porn actress, came out against Donald Trump and said that she was groped by him and that he basically...
Of course she
was. Pardon?
I didn't see that one, but of course she was.
Well, and that he wouldn't give up when she was like, no, I am not having sex with you. I'm not... That's not my... desire.
It's my job, you asshole.
Yeah. And he was like, he offered her money. How much money will it take? And so it just boggles the mind that he can't understand that even someone who does porn for a living has the right to consent or withdraw consent.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of friends get online and beat Jessica Drake up because she's a porn star. And I'm like, you know what, you guys, number one, all you men out there who are trashing Jessica Drake, you probably beat off to her films. Number two, all of you women who are out there trashing Jessica Drake, I'm going to bet that a fair number of you probably learned a few things from her sex education videos. So, fuck you. You're all a bunch of hypocrites.
Well... it's America, and you're talking about sex.
Right. So. But it just,
I'm
so angry. I actually felt like her case was worse than anybody's because he felt like he could buy her because of her profession, and people feel like they can attack her and not take her seriously because of her profession.
Yep. And it's that old thing, reality and fantasy. And she's just another person who's in the entertainment business, the fantasy business. It's their job.
Right.
Doesn't mean anything beyond it's their job.
Right. You know, and a lot of people who work in porn and prostitution have a primary relationship that is their real relationship and not their job.
Exactly, because most people do have relationships that are not their job.
Well, and that are consensual, and they're not being paid to be in those relationships.
You know, But Donald Trump has not been in one of those relationships.
Based on the that's probably fair.
I mean, based on the mail order bride catalog.
You know, actually, you know, just to be kind of fair and even looking at those relationships, I wonder if he has such a skewed vision of relationships with women because he has always bribed or paid or there's been some quid pro quo to get a woman in a relationship with him.
Well, of course it skews his view, right?
But I'm not saying it makes it okay.
No, but let's face it. His view was skewed before he started. I mean, that's pretty clear. Yeah. You don't just become a racist, misogynistic,
orange
xenophobic pig. Fuckwad. You work up to it. You know?
You know?
And the other thing, though, is he's too dumb to even understand that most of this stuff is in fact actually not accepted by the majority of Americans. You know, he just thinks he literally thinks that the people attacking him are just a bunch of fucking non-shaving, granola munching lesbians who hate men. And since he's a man, they hate him. It's like, no, they don't hate men. They fucking hate you. You being a man doesn't have anything to do with it. It has everything to do with the fact that you were a racist, misogynistic, xenophobic, sexist fucking asshole.
Yes.
You know, and you could be male, female, you could be from fucking Mars, and we would all still hate you because of all of these things. Fuck this guy.
I know. I feel like, you know, it's funny because I was like looking at the fuck this guy category and I'm like, this whole election season has felt like one big fuck that guy episode.
Sure, and while we're on it, you know, hey, Hillary, fuck you too. Because God damn it, you are the only person on the fucking planet who could lose to this piece of shit. And I'm pretty sure come Tuesday you're gonna lose.
So oh, God, don't say that.
Sorry, putting it out there.
It's horrifying, man. It's totally horrifying. And I think when we talk about dumping the Dems, let's talk about some of the numbers that are out there freaking the shit out of us right now. Just a few more things about why I'm sick of explaining this shit. So, also, you know, this whole belief that he's in it for the little guy and he's going to make America great, right? So I think all you have to do is look at those cases where it has been reported again and again and again by the people who experienced it that they would do jobs for him and then he would offer them pennies to the dollar to settle the bills. I mean, there are people out there who have been bankrupted because of his idea of business, his idea of fair pay for work.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You know, there are people that have not had jobs because he chose to purchase Chinese steel to build Trump Tower. He chose to use undocumented labor to build Trump Tower. This is not unproven. This is not fantasy. This happened. The guy who says he's going to make America great did that.
And somebody, for the fucking sake of all that is holy and rational, explain to me exactly when did we stop being great, or what period of Neanderthal evolution is it that you think was so great? Because, you know, make America great again by an old white guy really refers to post-World War II.
Yes.
When all the colored people knew their places.
The women knew their places.
And women knew their places. You know.
Yes, make America great again is code for make America white and patriarchal again.
Exactly.
Ugh. Okay. I know. And another one, the ties to Russia. This, again, is not undocumented or disproven.
No shit.
You know, I mean, the FBI, and I'll get into the FBI, trust me, they're fucking investigating this, but no one's paying attention.
Right.
People just have this willful ignorance around Donald Trump, and it's stunning.
Yeah, it is, but it's honestly not any more stunning than anything else we've come to expect in our political campaigns lately.
Although,
I
you
mean,
know, don't you?
Mitt
The
Romney carried it.
47%.
Yeah, he carried a fair number of people, right? You know, and it's like Mitt Romney's a hedge fund guy. His idea of fair tax is that, you know, he doesn't have to pay any. You know, I mean, what makes you think that he, you know, Jesus Christ, what makes anybody think that these people are going to do a damn thing to help them? And if you're in the middle class or trying to stay in the middle class and you think the Republicans are out to help you, you're fucking insane.
And
There is no evidence.
even
There
a
is
large
no
portion of
evidence.
Democrats, let's be honest, even a large portion of Democrats.
Fuck the Dems, you know. We've all been voting, let's be clear, we've all been voting for the Dems for 20 years as a defense mechanism against the insanity that is the Republican Party. Well, guess what? We're about to be overwhelmed. Water's coming over the levees, and we're going under on
Oh
this one.
God, I so hope you're wrong, but I so fear you're right, you
Yeah.
know?
And all the Dems had to do was nominate anybody
Yeah.
other than Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. We'll get there, man. Two more things. Okay, three more things. I lied. So, also, the fact that this fucker has been inciting violence at his rallies since day one. This is the guy where there have been throwdown, sucker punch, violence against reporters. I mean, I don't get how it's okay for his rallies to be these places of insane violence. And on top of that, now you've got reporters who, for the past several months, have been escorted out under Secret Service protection. Fucking reporters. This is insane. The fact that this guy can get away with this kind of violence, he tells us every day who he is. I've seen it again and again. It's that Maya Angelou quote that is like, when people tell you who they are, believe them. So, kind of the last thing, and then I'll leave the I'm sick of explaining this rant, but I am just going to kind of turn on the American people. I have had such a giant loss of faith in my neighbor, in friends. I don't understand how people can vote for this orange monstrosity. I don't know how they can vote for someone who is so hateful and so bigoted. I just don't get it.
Okay, so here's the reality of it, right? It's brain chemistry.
All right, throw it
So,
down, man.
and the thing is that if your brain is wired towards conservative thought and everything, there's no way that you'll ever believe that liberals are a good thing. Yeah. And conversely, if you're wired towards liberal thought, you're unlikely to ever find any value in a conservative argument.
Although I do have some hope for us at the end of the podcast, but keep going, man.
You know, and that's why talking rationally to the other side, whichever side you're on, talking rationally to the other side doesn't work. Yelling at the other side doesn't work. This is ultimately why, at this point, Donald Trump could be fucking a goat on the White House lawn and people would be like, yeah, he's my guy. He's my guy. And it's brain chemistry, right? And the fact that as much as we all want to believe that we're rational, and God knows I want to believe I'm rational, the truth of the matter is, somewhere deep in your brain, your decision's already been made, and then some other part of your brain's like, "Yeah, and this is why."
It's very true. I mean, I wouldn't have voted
instead of
for a
go,
Republican from day one. I
right.
wouldn't. Although I have to hope that if the shitstorm on the left was as big as the shitstorm on the right, maybe I'd be looking to right. Maybe I hope I could put our nation over my politics if the shitstorm on the left was just as gross. You know what I mean?
Right, but the thing is that you're making an argument that, you know, self-interest, right? Your self-interest is protected the way you're voting, and if it wasn't, you would vote the other way.
Absolutely. But yeah.
But here's the thing. Would we really be able to see the shitstorm the same way?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either, right? Because I can honestly say that as far as I can tell, Hillary Clinton's a pain in the ass and everything, but she's not
poison. Orange Hitler.
Yeah, she's not poison to our democracy. And I think that Trump is, right? And so, I mean, go back, right? If there'd been a shit show on the Democratic side, I would have voted for Romney. I would have been okay with that.
You know, I look back, and this plays into what you said, and I think about, fuck, even George W. Bush.
Mm-mm.
You know, I mean, mm-mm. I thought he was the end of the world, man. I now think
right,
I
but
see
here's...
the end of the world coming.
No, here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. Bush is a known quantity now. He was inept. He was incompetent. He should never have been in the White House, particularly when we got sucker punched on 9/11. There's every reason to believe that Trump will be a bigger failure than that, but until the day comes, you don't know that he's actually worse than fucking Junior was. We can suspect, and we may ultimately be proven right, but I would never vote for fucking Junior again, because he's a known quantity, and he fucked us up.
I'm not sure, in all honesty, if I had to choose between Donald Trump and George W. Bush, what I would do. If those were my two choices, I am not sure what I would do, because my mind is so filled with what could be the horrors of a Trump presidency. I'm not sure I could choose.
Yeah.
All right, talk to me about Fuckface Von Clownstick and his dog Spot.
I think we've been talking about him,
yeah.
But the Fuckface Von Clownstick comes from a tweet war that fucking Jon Stewart got into with Fuckface. We're out of the blue. This is a true story. I was listening to this the other day. It's a true story, though. Out of the blue, Trump started tweeting. You know, John Liebowitz isn't all that funny, and he's rejecting his heritage, right?
Right.
You know, to which yes. Stewart, you know, personally is like, I'm pretty sure I'm the most Jewy guy out there, but okay. You know, so they thought about it for a while, and they responded with, you know, Fuckface Von Clownstick is rejecting his Von Clownstick heritage. You know, And then it was Trump right off to the fucking races, right? You know, like, not funny, fuck, you know, it's just, this guy truly is not temperamentally suited to be the president of the United States, because if you can't take somebody calling you clown face Von Fuckstick or whatever, you know, dude, what are you doing, right? You know?
I just, I'm not
the
even
joke
sure.
In the immortal words of Morrissey, the joke isn't funny anymore.
Yeah, no. Actually, I know you hate it when I bring up Bill Maher. I've decided you don't hate him. I believe you when you say that you don't hate him, but he kind of had a little meltdown on his show on Friday night, and he was like, I'm going to try to keep this funny. I know this is a comedy show, but this isn't fucking funny.
No, it's not. It's not. And I got no problem with Maher. I just don't like the way his show is structured. You know? And the fact that he tends to be as unmoving in his shit as the people on the right that he makes fun of. So. Because, you know, he was all Clinton, carrying Clinton's water, and then fuck Bernie. And then all of a sudden he had the Bernie revolution after the numbers really started to look like Bernie was worth looking at. And all of a sudden Maher was on board with Bernie. You know, who knows? I'm being judgmental.
Isn't that what this whole episode is?
Yeah. Isn't that what everything is, though? Right? Just being judgmental. And yes, you know, I mean, and somebody's going to point out, well, you're just pissy because it's not going your way. You got me. You got me. Being pissy because I'm pretty sure that the world is ending on Thursday. So
Tuesday.
No. It'll take Thursday before they've got the count to a point where.
Okay. Do you want to look at numbers?
Sure.
No, not really.
Oh no, I mean, you know, she's leveling out again at about 64%. Yeah. I was just looking at it.
She's been kind of sticking around, and we're talking about 538, just in case anybody asks.
But the Senate's down to a toss-up now. It's 50.1. So, you know, we're fucked. We're not going to get the Senate back. Because, you know, the thing is that, like, when we're hoping for things to actually go our way, it's too late. It's not going to happen.
Right.
You know.
No, I completely agree.
You know, the only things that are possible here is that there's some kind of shit in the polls that is out of whack. Potentially caused by early voting numbers big enough, and overwhelmingly it's been for the Dems, so it's possible that those numbers aren't getting reflected in the absolute last round of polls, because those people have already voted, right? So why ask them who they're voting for? But it seems like a bit of a long shot as far as I can tell.
What do you think about the other polls that are showing better outcomes for the Dems? Like, for example, I've been looking at 538 incessantly, which is insane. I know you warned me not to, but you've ruined me nonetheless. I was reading on HuffPo last night, and their pollsters, and I actually heard, they were talking about this on Political Gabfest. Apparently, HuffPo has a really good scientific nonpartisan group of pollsters working for them. I mean, the guys at Political Gabfest spoke very highly of the pollsters that HuffPo has hired, and they had Clinton at like 98% chance of winning yesterday when I was looking at their polls, which just seems outrageous.
Hell, you know, who knows? I just, you know, maybe Nate. Well, the thing is, Nate's not going to be wrong either way. I mean, this is the problem with goddamn pollsters and statistics and everything, right? Nate gets to be right no matter what because he's saying
each of them has a chance, but one of them has a higher chance.
Yeah.
He's not saying anybody's going to win in particular. He's just saying these are the odds right now.
Yep, let's see. Okay. Well, people are accusing Nate of monkeying around with the numbers to get the results he wants, which, and since that's HuffPo calling him out on it, it's like, yeah, nobody's worth listening to at this point.
You know, generally speaking, quite honestly, it does serve the media in general to have this be a close race and to have all of us be freaking out and pissing in our pants. I mean, it totally serves them because then it gets us all obsessively watching things.
Right, which I, by the way, I'm done.
Oh, yeah?
I'm done watching any of it.
I want to talk about that at the end of the podcast a little bit, too, because I've heard some interesting things that have made me think about the obsessive watching of polls and news, and not sure I'm done, but it's given me some food for thought.
Okay, we can talk about that more later, but I'm just going to go with it's really, you know, and I'm guilty of it, too, and it's really stupid.
Well, it certainly creates a lot of angst that we probably don't need to bring on ourselves, you know? And all of this angst is not going to change things.
No.
I think that's a really important take home that I took when I was listening to the discussion on Political Gabfest. this angst is not doing anything but torturing us.
Yeah.
You know? It's just depressing.
Yeah, which is probably why more people listen to your Walking Dead and Preacher podcast than this. Because we're just spreading that around. We're just giving more of it out there. Oh, my God.
So let's leave Fuckface Von Clownstick and just kind of talk in general about why you're done with the Dems. Because I get it and I feel it, but I just kind of want to explore that.
The last Dem I voted for, honestly, it was the first Dem I voted for, which was Bill Clinton in 94. He was the last... 92? 92, sorry. Last time I was voting for a candidate because I thought the candidate was a good choice. Ever since then, Bill Clinton, you know, then, you know, got the 96 vote from me as well. Because, yeah, he was still a better choice than Bob Dole. But ever since then, it hasn't mattered who the Dems put up. I've been voting against the Republicans since 2000.
I see what you're saying. It's not that you didn't have other Democratic votes. It's just that it was a vote against a Republican versus a vote for the Democrat.
Yeah, I haven't voted for a Democrat since Bill Clinton. I just happen to have voted Democrat in all the elections.
I see.
Yeah. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. And this is when, you know, this is, you know, one of the things that really hits me. We've wandered on and off over this podcast and over the years, you know, in various conversations, how, you know, like the minority voters just don't come out and vote, right? I mean, you know, yeah, Clinton's not a great choice, but she's like way better than the alternative. But, you know, at a certain point, fuck these guys. They haven't done anything to earn our respect, our votes, or our support. And why the fuck do we keep sending these clowns to the presidency if they're going to act like this, you know?
So I'm going to call you on things a little bit, and it's kind of not fair for me to call you on this because I don't have an answer myself, but how do we change that?
Well, it's a different conversation for sure, and it's the bigger conversation. But, you know, I think that it goes back to fuck the president and who runs for the presidency and everything. And if the Dems can't get their shit together, then we just keep letting the Republicans have it until they do. But we focus our time and our energy at the local level, the state level, you know, where we can actually start bringing up a new crop of people who might actually one day become president and might actually be somebody we would vote for willingly instead of, holy shit, the other guy's so bad we gotta vote for this person.
Right. I do have to tell you, just thinking about it myself, the last time I voted for a Democrat was Barack Obama's first presidency.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand that, but I'll be honest, I didn't vote for Obama. I voted against the insanity that was McCain and Palin.
I voted for Obama because I thought, this is a face that reflects my friends and family who have not been represented in our government up until now.
Well, that's good. That's good. And, you know, look, I'm certainly not taking shots over it.
No. I don't think you are. It's just that, you know, kind of thinking about your
reasoning
and kind of the way that you parse things out, that's the truth for me.
Because honestly, I did not for a minute believe that Barack Obama had been in Congress long enough to have the experience necessary to be president.
I think there is some legitimacy to those concerns.
Yeah.
I think he's done a pretty damn good job.
Oh, and I think he's got the qualifications now. And has for quite a while. But yeah. Day one, no, I didn't think he was qualified for the presidency. But it didn't, but for my equation, it didn't matter because
the alternative was so bad.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, my whole done with the Dems, I've got this crazy relationship with the Dems, and I really can't remember what your primary system is like in California. But
oh my God, it's insane.
In order to do anything meaningful in primaries, I have to be registered as a Dem. So, you know, what I'm probably going to end up doing is out of protest, out of frustration, out of anger, I'm going to end up re-registering as an independent or an undeclared. And then when the next 4 years roll around and I want to caucus for a presidential candidate, provided this country is still here in 4 years, I have to register as a Dem again.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's a little, maybe you don't even have to go that to that length. Maybe the reality is we just, you know, fuck the DNC and we just ignore them, you know, registering as a Democrat so you can vote in the primaries, particularly in Alaska where it matters. You know, that's fine. That doesn't make you a Dem. That makes you a person who is registered to vote in the primaries to try to support candidates they believe in.
Yeah, you know, and here's the deal, man. I have thought, since I first learned what democratic socialism was, way back in high school, we're old enough now that I can say way back in high school, I've always thought of myself as that person, because that was the system that spoke to me more than anything. So, you know how excited I was about Bernie, and I still feel like Bernie was the best candidate. I feel like the Dems obviously colluded to keep Bernie from winning. And I feel like they picked...
Let's be honest. I mean, let's be clear. The DNC did that.
Yeah, that's true. The DNC colluded against Bernie.
The Democratic machine did that.
By the way, Debbie Wasserman Schultz is now saying, they're picking on me, they're being so mean to me, and saying that I screwed over Bernie, and it's not true.
Oh, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, I pretty much feel that way, too. But, so my frustration with the Dems, kind of going back to my continued adoration of Bernie, is I feel like they picked the most flawed candidate they could. And I actually still believe that Bernie would have been a stronger candidate.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it seems likely. It looked likely at the time and everything. But you just don't know. I mean... All I do know, I mean, to be clear, I do think that he would have won hands down.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make me right. But he would have at least been a candidate I would have been voting for because I believed in him.
Right. As opposed to voting for because you're voting against Donald Trump, which is where we both find ourselves now.
Yeah. And the thing is if the Dems want to continue to put up candidates who only the only thing they're offering us is they're not the other fucking insanity, that's not enough of a reason to support them. It's really not.
I agree.
And I think that's, you know, what's gone back, going back to my question about the minority votes and stuff, is I think they kind of figured that out a while ago. You know, what's the point in voting for somebody who isn't going to do anything to help you anyway?
But I do have to say, and, you know, this is probably me just buying into the hype and the craziness, but I get frustrated. Like, they're saying that the black vote turnout in Florida is crappy, and the black voter turnout in North Carolina, at least in the early voting, is crappy. And I think, come on, you guys. You have a choice between someone who may not further your cause, but she's not going to have a huge negative impact on your life. You, by not voting for that person, and by choosing not to vote at all, whether it's protest, whether it's I'm just done with this whole thing, I'm not going to vote for anybody, I don't know, you actually run the risk of electing someone who could be really harmful to all of us. That frustrates me.
I agree, but I also think that if the Dems want to continue to take our votes for granted, because, oh, well, they're not that shitstorm across the street, fuck them. Give us a reason to vote for you, and we will. If you don't, it's on you guys. It's not on us. The Democratic National Committee has absolved themselves of any responsibility in this, you know. And the truth of the matter is, you guys got behind the candidate who is least likely to beat a Republican in a presidential race. And even if she does win, which, you know, I'm reading HuffPost and I'm seeing their logic and everything, but even if she does win, so what? The best you offered us in this entire campaign is that you're not that shit show.
Well, and here's what I think. In fact, I argued this to someone yesterday. I think if Donald Trump wins, we could potentially have some horrifying long-term impact on the country, and certainly on our international reputation. I think if Hillary Clinton wins, at best, she's not going to be all that progressive, and she's not going to really advance very much. But it could be worse.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
It's... Well, either we're gonna get to find out or we won't.
Right. I do want to say one little thing before we move on, which is that we have a friend of Bernie likely to win here in my state district. Can you believe that?
Oh, that's awesome. For yeah. What position?
She's running for one of the state senator positions.
Good.
Yeah. And she actually is someone who knows Bernie well, who worked with him, who volunteered for him years ago, and she was the person who spoke for him at the caucus.
Okay.
So, you know, to see that there's a really good chance that she might be representing our area in red Alaska is, it's somewhat heartening.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and, you know, in California, right? I mean, we're so blue, it doesn't matter at this moment.
And we're some not, and you know that.
Yeah. But this is the problem, by the way. It's that 60% of the country is registered Dem, right? There isn't a race that the Dem should ever lose, except for the fact that the numbers are not evenly divided. Yeah. It isn't like there's six Dems out of 10 people in every state. Some states it's way higher, California, way lower, Alaska. and the Electoral College thing is really comes into play.
Yeah. You know, someone pointed out about the Electoral College that we basically have 538 people making the decision. That there's not even any guarantee that they're gonna represent us.
Actually there is. In almost all states, if you don't vote for the person who was elected, you'll go to jail. It didn't used to be that way, but most states have adopted that.
So this kind of segues into my very first fuck that guy. So there is a gentleman who is an electoral voter in the state of Washington. Have you seen the reports about this guy?
No.
I can't. I'm gonna butcher his name because I can't remember it exactly, and I don't have it pulled up in front of me. But his last name, I believe, is Siatikum, and he is a Northwest Native man. And he's basically like, yeah, even if Washington goes for Hillary, I'm not voting for her because she doesn't give a shit about Native American rights. Okay, I can get where this guy is coming from, but. How can he say that not casting his electoral vote for the person who wins his state, number one, is okay, and number two, how can he say that potentially giving up that vote to Donald Trump, because a vote against Hillary or a vote that doesn't go to Hillary is a vote for Donald Trump, ultimately, how can he say that he's doing something that will benefit his people? And what he faces is $1,000 fine if he votes against his state. So he's not facing jail time, he's facing $1,000 fine. And somebody pointed out, I think it was Rachel Maddow, that, you know, 269 versus 270 is still losing.
Yeah.
So, you know, to think that a no faith electoral voter could fuck things up is pretty frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Washington State electoral voter whose name I probably butchered, fuck you.
No doubt. No doubt. Yeah. So. I'm looking at the history of faithless voting.
It's actually pretty small. I actually went back and looked at it as well, and I think there's been something like 70 faithless voters since the since we became a nation, and I believe that none of them have actually determined the outcome of the race. And some of the faithless voters are actually people who died after the popular vote, but before the Electoral College convened. And they're still considered faithless voters because there's no vote. But this guy is actually the real deal in terms of saying, yeah, I'm going to go vote with the Electoral College, but I'm not casting a vote for Hillary Clinton, even if she wins my state. Which, I mean, it's Washington. She's going to win Washington.
Yep. Well, again, anytime they want to step up and fix this problem, we'll all get behind it.
Yeah, a popular vote is a good idea. Okay, go ahead.
No, I was just going to agree. It really is. Really is a good idea.
So my other ginormous fuck that guy is James Comey, of the head of the FBI. Because I really do think that his, we found some emails on Anthony Weiner's computer and we're really not sure if they're significant, but I'm telling you they might be. Ugh. Poorly handled, badly done, badly timed. Tons of people in the intelligence community, I know, oxymoron, are coming out and saying, this is wrong. This is not how something like this should be handled so close to an election.
I'm sorry, say that again. Lost
well,
it.
Well, so basically, you know, there are tons of people who say that James Comey should not have handled this the way did so close to an election. And people who are in the know, other people who've been highly placed in the intelligence community.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, guess what? Another useless appointment.
Well, I hope he faces some ramifications. You know, I really feel like...
Well, he will face ramifications depending on who wins the Senate and the presidency, right? The Dems can kill this guy if they win. They're not going to be able to. The Republicans certainly aren't going to investigate him.
Right.
If they get the outcome they want. So, yeah, this guy was the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York from January 2 to December 3. U.S. Deputy Attorney General from December 3 to August 5. In 2005, he left DOJ, became the General Counsel and Senior Vice President of Lockheed Martin.
Oh, no corporate ties there.
In 10, he became General Counsel at Bridgewater Associates. Don't know who they are, but that's all right. In 13, he left Bridgewater to become a senior research scholar and Hertog Fellow on National Security Law at Columbia Law, and served on the board of directors of HSBC Holding. This guy, this guy's like voting, he's a Wall Street guy.
Yeah.
I don't get what he's doing. Yeah, because Bridgewater Associates is an American investment management firm, pension funds, endowments, foundations, foreign governments, central banks, utilizes what they call a global macro investing style based on economic trends. It's an institutional investment. Yeah, so... In 2011 was the world's largest macro hedge fund company. So now I'm really confused because of Clinton's alleged ties to Wall Street and this guy's definite ties to Wall Street. I'm truly confused as to what the fuck he thinks he's doing.
Well, he's clearly putting party over country.
Yeah. Why did Obama appoint a guy who's clearly...
I was reading about that, and it sounds like it was one of those, see, I can reach across the aisles. Really, I can.
Yeah, fuck that, guys. I'm telling you, stop doing that shit.
All right, I'm going to bring us up a little bit, unless you have a fuck that guy. Hello?
I'm reading something here. Oh, I see. In 2006, he was acting attorney general during the March 2004 hospitalization of Ashcroft. And during that time, he refused to certify the legality of certain central aspects of the NSA program, which was required in order for the program to continue. Okay, so I see this guy had, okay, I get it. This guy had a mixed bag where he seemed to serve the best interests of the people, actually, during his brief tenure in government. Shame on us. Shame on you, President Obama. You got suckered.
Yeah, we got fooled again.
All right, now you can bring it back.
So I'm gonna bring us up a little bit. So Hall of Honorable Mention. Number one, the judge who restored voting rights in North Carolina. So I don't know if you saw this, but the headline a couple of days ago was all of those voters that have been thrown out because of the gutting of the Voting Rights Act,
right,
according to this judge in North Carolina, will have to be reinstated and their votes will be honored. And yeah, good. That's good, because quite frankly, it was a way to disenfranchise minority voters. So that guy gets an honorable mention. I wish I had his name up in front of me. The other thing is, this is something that's just given me a little bit of hope. So someone created this Facebook page that's, quote, secret, but not so secret. I don't know how that works, but it's called Pantsuit Nation. And it's basically people who are voting Dem, just kind of talking about their experiences and what led them there, and generally creating a supportive environment for each other. And it really is nice to be able to share your thoughts in an environment where people aren't dissing you, quite honestly. And I look at it, I've looked at it over the past few days since one of my friends added me, and there are stories that make you feel better. Like, there was a post from a fellow a couple of days ago that basically said, I have voted Republican all of my life, but I've looked at what's happening this year, and my belief is that Republicanism is about preserving values and, you know, preserving what our country is about, and Donald Trump has none of those things, therefore I'm voting for Hillary Clinton. You know? I wanted to share this. This was just one thing that I read this morning that made me feel a little bit better about my vote. I'm an evangelical Christian who voted early for HRC because I believe that the best way to lower the abortion rate is to provide health care and social programs for poor, at-risk mothers. I am tired of this one issue being used as a way to manipulate Christians into voting Republican at all costs.
There was some nuanced thought about a fucking issue like abortion. Right. Congratulations.
And some, like, kindness and true reaching across the aisle. Not bargaining, but just truly saying, I recognize you as a human being in this page. It's really been pretty heartening. A lot of women telling stories about their very elderly grandmothers or moms who are insisting on being taken to the polls out of their assisted living and being rolled into the polls so they can vote. A lot of stories about women whose family members worked in the suffragette movement and suffered in the suffragette movement who are now grateful to vote for a woman. You know, it's pretty cool.
Right.
So, boy, Pantsuit Nation, guys, look it up. If you've got a friend who's already part of it, ask your friend to add you, because it really does make you feel a little bit better. So, and I hope they are truly representative of what we're going to see on Tuesday. I don't know that they are, but I hope they are.
Yeah, well, you know, so here's going back to Nate and the 538 thing, because this is really actually kind of concerning me. Some of the stuff I was just looking at about Nate and what he's doing, you know. If it turns out that Nate's going to be right, because all he's doing is giving probabilities, not...
not actual, she has this percentage and he has this percentage and therefore she will win or he will win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but if it's a blowout, if it turns out that Florida does go, you know, like HuffPost is saying and some of the other ones, you know, then I'm afraid, Mr. Silver, that we will probably have to be parting ways. Because I have suffered greatly by following your work, and if it's wrong. Or let me rephrase it. If it's not as accurate as it could have been and had been previously.
So that actually reminds me of something that I did want to talk about, because we're going to get this out today, so we hope that people get a chance to listen to this before the election. I was listening to Political Gabfest, which you know is one of my favorite political podcasts, and the last section of their show this week was, what are you going to do to keep yourself from going crazy, to distract yourself, to give yourself some solace, so you're not stuck in front of your computer staring at 538 and feeling panicked? And it was really a nice episode. You know, it was or a nice way to end the episode. One of the hosts was going to go apple picking with her kids. One of the hosts was going to build a kit rocket with his kids. You know, it was just stuff that totally didn't have anything to do with the election, and stuff where you aren't obsessing about an outcome that you don't have any control over at this point anyway.
Well, I don't, you don't, but the people in Arizona do.
Right, but you and I don't have any control over those people in Arizona. You're not going to change your mom's mind at this late date.
They just went to Italy, so hopefully they forgot to vote.
But even if she forgot to vote, you didn't manifest that, you know?
Oh, I agree.
So I felt like it was good. So what are you going to do to keep yourself from going crazy until Wednesday morning?
I got work to do. I got work to do. It's really simple.
So
you're mostly going to be working too.
Right. So I'm going to be working, but I'm going to be surrounded by people who are going to be crowing if Donald Trump does in fact win. I am going to take joy in the fact that our beautiful niece is here, and she has been so helpful while my husband has been recovering from his shoulder surgery.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm going to take joy in the fact that I am doing fascinating stuff, like spinning my own yarn and creating things out of felt. I mean, I'm making my own felted figurines. I mean, it's dumb, but it's mine.
Yeah.
You know, and it's something that I can do that has nothing to do with looking at electoral politics, and gives me pleasure. So
that sounds way better than anything else.
I just, you know, I want to share that idea with the people who listen to us who may not listen to Political Gabfest, which is just find something that gives you some joy or gives you some distraction, and stop obsessing like we're obsessing, like I'm obsessing. Because it's not healthy. It's not good for any of us. And at this point, we really aren't going to change minds.
No, I agree. We are not going to change minds. I might get back to Facebook by the end of the month.
Depending on the outcome, or just in general, you might get back to Facebook by the end of the month.
Depending on, not on the outcome, but on how long it takes for the outcome to settle down.
Okay. I think that's fair.
I've been off Facebook for about a month because I'm tired of the memes and everything, which will continue after the election. So it's a matter of when does it calm down? Because, right. You know, I still love all my friends, regardless of what side of the aisle they're on, you know, but I'm just tired of being angered because stuff I really disagree with ends up in my fucking newsfeed.
Well, you know, and here's the thing.
And I can only stop following so many people.
Right. I actually have a couple of friends who are voting for Donald Trump. I'm horrified by their decisions, but they're still my friends. I have one friend who keeps kind of trying to pick pick at me and at posts that my friends share and people that he's not even friends with. You know what I mean? And I said to him the other day, stop it. I know you're a good person and you're making me crazy. And then he like tried to argue about something else. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to argue with you. It's not that I can't. It's not that I don't have stuff that refutes what you're saying. I just don't want to argue. I'm done.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I'm still going to have to work with some of these people, and I'm still going to love some of these people, even after this horrifying election. And I don't know how to justify that, because I look at the choices that some of my friends are making, and I'm like, really? You're voting against tolerance? Or better than tolerance? You're voting against women's rights? Okay. You're voting for the guy that is being bankrolled by Vladimir Putin. Okay. You know? But yeah, the bottom line is, I agree with you. Those people are still going to be in my life, and I still love them.
Yeah. Yeah, well, at the end of the day, it still goes back to the DNC and Hillary Clinton.
And the RNC and them being total pussies. This whole Paul Ryan, I don't endorse him, but I'm voting for him. Really? Come on, buddy, take a stand.
I would assume that Mr. Ryan won't be the speaker next session.
Yeah, who knows, man. But yeah, I think that both parties are flawed and both parties have made terrible judgment calls this season.
And then some.
And then some.
Horrible judgment with Sarah Palin. This is a whole nother level of
something. Oh my god, did I tell you, speaking of which, I had a Sarah Palin sighting? Did I share that on the podcast?
You might have.
Yeah, Sarah Palin sighting.
Is this a new one?
No, it's a couple months ago.
Okay, yeah, I think you shared it. But
I'm still shell-shocked. So we just want to tell people a little bit about where we think we might be going from here. So we're probably going to do one more election-related podcast, just kind of the mop-up and the, as Todd calls it, the hangover episode, which I think is totally appropriate. And then we're going to take
which we could probably preview with, oh, thank God that's over, or thank God that's over. It'll be one of those two.
And you know, quite honestly, people on both sides, that's pretty much the general consensus is, dear Lord, let it be done.
Yeah, you know.
But then we think we're pretty sure we're going to take a break from at least presidential politics, hopefully national politics for a while. We're going to be looking at doing some more of our one-offs and things that are not directly related to this electoral season because we're all fucking sick of it.
Absolutely.
And I want to turn over the new leaf by next time reading Out of Good Omens to people. I don't want to sully it by...
Yeah.
I just don't want to sully it by associating it with the last 16 or so months of national politics.
All right.
So, but I do have a Neil Gaiman quote, of course.
Go for it.
So this is Delirium from the Sandman series.
Couldn't be more appropriate already.
I know, that's what I thought, right? Our existence deforms the universe. That's responsibility.
Nice, I like that.
Yeah, I thought that was really appropriate for today.
Hey, real quick, I just want to give a shout out to Shannon. Hannah, thanks for listening, guys.
Yay! And I actually want to shout out to my niece and her boyfriend who listened to the heroin episode.
Yay!
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. And Michelle in Maine.
Yay! And
May
you not be plagued by Paul LePage, Michelle.
Yeah.
Please, God. Gods. Whomever you believe in. No more Paul LePage.
All right. Thank you again. Yeah, thank you to everybody who's been listening to us through this entirely overly stupid season.
We love you. Share us with your friends. Give us a like on iTunes. Check out our webpage. Check out our Facebook page. We just want to hear from you guys. And Henno, thank you, Henno. You have also been consistent throughout the last year of listening to the show, and we really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Okay, I think that's gonna do it.
All right. Well, everybody, give each other some love, because this next week or so is gonna be tough.
We'll talk soon.
All right, very good. See you later.